Hi, Tad Chalmers here. You may know me from such podcasts as Roundabout, where I play that nebbish, lovable scamp, Craig Cole. But you know, podcasts aren't all fun and games. Some of our hosts haven't tasted clean water since episode one. Hope isn't lost, though. You can help. Go to roundaboutshow.com and take our quick survey to tell advertisers you care. It's too late for Zach Bowman, but with your help, he might just be the last.
From Canucksville, Tennessee, I'm Zach Bowman.
From Long Beach, California, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
In Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross.
At the Roundabout Studios in Livonia, Michigan, I'm Eric Tritko.
I'm producer Ben Sanders.
And I'm your host, Craig Cole.
This is Roundabout.
Hello and welcome to Roundabout, episode number 27, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like a flock of sorority sisters celebrating St. Patrick's Day, we descend on the clubs and dive bars of the internet in search of a good time, an excuse to take blurry self-portraits, and a cohesive, zen-like theme. On our way to blacking out, we'll uncover juicy bits of gossip to talk about, like how Becca has a crush on Tina's ex-boyfriend, and how Megan and Kyle made out at Sarah's engagement party.
What a slut!
And just like every other week, by the time Last Call rolls around, we're all at each other's throats, facing an emotional breakdown. You know, it just wouldn't be Roundabout if we weren't all crying at the end of the night. And folks, here we are again with the 27th consecutive installment of your favorite auto-themed audio program. And this week, we're bringing you a spectacular St. Patrick's Day extravaganza for a little taste of the Emerald Isle. It's magically delicious. And oh, my dear Lord. Ben, what did you create there? That is horrifying. Horrifying in the best way possible.
What, the music?
The graphic of Zach Bowman dressed as a little wee leprechaun.
Wait, isn't that a video from Halloween?
Where is this?
Never mind, Zach. Just never mind.
You missed it.
Ben did a little animation of you with your face on it, dancing across the screen to help us celebrate the drunkenest holiday of the year.
I'm glad I could help.
Yeah, I'm laughing with you, not at you, Zach.
I'm sure.
Where did you hide your pot of gold, Zach?
Do you want me to answer that, Craig?
Because
it will involve obscenities.
Ben can bleep them out in post. You
Ben
got your purple
it.
Horseshoes and yellow rainbows, right?
It's going to be a good night. It's going to be a good night.
And Jeff, you were on the Riverdance team in high school, weren't you?
I can't do voices.
I can't do voices either. I'm sure that's atrocious, and that is the last of my Irish accent you will hear for this show.
It's God better help than me. Anything I could.
Hoorah.
So we're getting things started here. If you can't tell, if it's not obvious already, our theme for this week's program is St. Patrick's Day. And we've got our regular cast and crew back on for this week, I'm happy to report. So joining me in the studio live right now, Mr. Eric Tritko from Dearborn, Michigan, Rumblestrip on Twitter. Eric, glad you could make it.
Good to be here once again.
I'm proud of you. You made the drive. You don't know what that means for us. And, of course, joining us via Skype, Michelle Naranjo. Never gets old, does it?
I have to say, in Craig's defense, Colin Bird mispronounced your name last week.
Yeah, I know.
And you were very diplomatic, Michelle. That was hilarious. Just let it slide. Like water off a duck's back. So that was pretty cool. But you were on the Autobird podcast, right?
I was on the Autobird podcast promoting the Roundabout Show.
Moonlighting at the competition, I see.
Yeah.
Well, they're a good podcast.
Thanks for that awkward moment.
This awkward moment is brought to you by Craig Cole.
You know what was so awful about that, though? They did it at 7:30 in the morning, my time.
Oh, God. Because you're on the left coast out there, so yeah.
Right, and Fetter had something he wanted to do with his girlfriend. So I had to, like, get up and do it. I was asleep. Mm. I don't even remember it.
Cool. But, of course, we've got our regular Michelle, but we can't forget about Jeff Ross down there in Knoxville. Jeff?
Nope. I'm in Florida.
Oh, I'm confusing you two again.
See, we're really coming to the Dream Cruise to break your legs.
Yes.
Not because we want to come see
you're
you.
You're not going to break them if I beat you to it.
I'll just hit you with a hammer.
Okay. I'm confused. So, yeah.
But it's good to be back.
No, not really. You don't have to lie to us, Jeff. But
it's
you were off last week. What were you doing? Anything exciting?
Just driving up to Alabama.
Oh. What for? Can we ask? Nothing illegal, right?
No, nothing illegal. It was a wedding shower for my fiance.
Sounds really exciting.
Aww.
Did you get a nice toaster, an osterizer blender or something?
My favorite was a juicer. And I found out that it takes about 5 oranges to make a glass of juice.
Yeah, but you're in Florida. Those just grow like right outside your backyard, right?
They're like weeds.
Yeah, but it's at work. I'd rather go to Winn-Dixie and just buy a gallon of orange juice.
The Piggly Wiggly.
We got my wife and I got matching battle tanks that shoot little airsoft pellets.
Hmm.
At one of our showers, it was pretty awesome.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah,
like they have independent tank treads and the turret moves like left and right and up and down. It's pretty fantastic.
Cool. So before we get into the rest of the show, guys, we've got a couple other important announcements to make. And first and foremost, we've got some birthdays coming up tomorrow, in fact. March 13th. Isn't that right, Ben and Zach?
Luckiest day of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say the only day of the year you get lucky?
Oh.
No, I'm not Craig. Come on.
Right where it hurts, Zach. Right there.
Bum.
Just cutting. You must have low self-esteem. You just got to bully everybody all the time.
I put him on the tee. He hits him out of the park.
Driving range, yep. So how many years old you be, Zach?
I will be 25 years old tomorrow.
Oh, a youngster. And Ben?
28.
Oh, okay.
I'm within.
You're knocking on Eric's
distance
age right there.
Death.
Yeah. Old man Tritko over here. Get off my lawn, damn kids.
Damn right.
Turn that music down.
Well, do you sit on the rocking chair on your front porch with a shotgun wrapped in a blanket screaming at the neighbors?
No, but I have my garden hose turned up as high as I can with as much pressure, so if they do come by, I can squirt them. Exactly.
Blast them.
Exactly.
Cool.
They're vermin anyway, so, you know.
Oh, God.
Okay. Moving on.
Bleep. Yeah. All right. One other thing before we go. Get to the meat of the story. We've got some fan art to announce, Ben. Come on.
Oh,
so birthdays.
Enough.
Happy birthday, Zach and Ben. Also some fan art. Luke had sent us a couple things, as did Mirko Reinhardt on Facebook, another one of our fans. So shout out to him. And Ben has been gracious enough to make a couple t-shirts with some of their artwork. So check it out in the Roab Emporium if you get a chance. And also,
what about that nice little
there's
wooden
a nice
gem.
Little wooden plaque here with carved out on the CNC machine by someone's dad. Isn't that right, Ben?
That's right, Craig.
What can you tell us about this? Pretend we're on the Antiques Roadshow right now. Where'd you get it?
I found this at a rummage sale in Connecticut.
Ten years ago.
Oh, cool. See, it's got the roundabout logo so expertly etched in there. Did you catch a look at that fine craftsmanship, Eric?
I did.
It's a nice piece of, I believe, red oak, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, Dad in the chat will have to answer that.
Okay, let's see what he says.
But it was made on his hand-built CNC machine.
Well,
so there you go.
That's Yankee ingenuity right there.
That's right.
Regular Norm Abram.
I know. Hey.
All right, but I think it's St. Patrick's Day.
I think so, too, and I think somebody should joint the saw blade marks
red
off
oak,
the edges.
By the way.
Moving along.
Red oak.
I was right.
Confirmed.
I know my timber when I see it.
Greg does know his wood.
It's the only wood that he ever gets.
All right, so our first story up here today, guys, is coming courtesy of Autoblog. It fits our theme because it is literally green. Famous car customizer Chip Foose went and built a special custom John Deere tractor. What is the model number here?
I 4020.
Forget. 4020, which is a vintage model that was manufactured from 63 to 72. And he kind of customized it. Looks pretty good, considering it's some agricultural, industrial piece of machinery, you know? So.
Yeah, I look at this and I wonder, like, why our tractors don't just look like this anyway, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why does a tractor have to be ugly? And I know not all tractors are ugly, don't get me wrong, but then that's good looking.
That's a sexy tractor.
I assume it still performs its job, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, they tried. I mean, I think with industrial equipment like that, as long as it works, they're fine with it. So form literally is following function. They don't really care about the prettiness. But you're right. Why can't a tractor look like that? Did a good job on it.
And apparently it's getting a lot of criticism from the purists. I didn't know there was tractor purists, but there's
John Deere folks. Purists. Yeah, the John Deere folks, they are the highfalutin of the farming world, let me tell you.
Those Massey Ferguson assholes.
They're stuck-up jackasses, you know, because like most of the farms that have John Deere are all John Deere, you know, and that equipment's really freaking expensive, so most of the guys who farm, you see them have all that stuff, and you're like, well, maybe they don't really know what they're doing, but they just bought all this equipment, you know. So,
and I was gonna
add, like the yuppie tractor.
I was
it's like a BMW. Yeah.
It is.
I was gonna ask, when did Chip Foose move from California to New York and change his last name to Tuttle?
Okay, context. You're just saying the design, or looks like some Orange County chopper, or what?
Yeah, hoard yourself out to a corporation because business was slow.
Those downpipes
do look like something that would come out of Orange County chopper.
And the fact that where the downpipes are is where the step is supposed to be to get up in the cab, so it might be a little difficult to get in and out.
Well, you're not actually going to be farming with this tractor.
There's a steppy thing there beneath the frame.
So yeah. A steppy thing. Could you burn yourself on that?
Yeah.
Just like a Dodge cycle.
Yeah, because you know, diesel exhaust pipes, those don't get hot.
Well, they don't, no. Common misconception.
I like the front splitter. If that's what it's supposed to be.
But yeah, the Chip Foose did this tractor for John Deere, and they're giving it away. It's a promotional type thing. So like you said, pouring himself out.
At the end of the day, I actually do like it because I like the colors of the paint because it looks kind of vintage. It has a bit of an Art Deco look to it, which
it's very
I like,
cleanly styled.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah. So
I like Chip Foose. He's a cool guy. You know, he does awesome work.
He's not Troy Trepanier, but he's all right.
Yeah.
So
there you go. Our first story of the night is literally green. Ties in nicely with St. Patrick's Day.
Hi.
That was a pirate, sorry.
Top of the morning. So, Jeff, you've got our next story here, which is green in a different way. What can you tell us about it?
Well, I like this story because I always wondered how you could try and get like a slot car system to work on roads.
Yeah.
To make cars run on electricity. Well, in South Korea, apparently they have. They've figured out a system to lay strips in the road so when your car drives over it, it can charge the electric battery and extend the range and make for smaller size battery need in an electric vehicle.
That's a pretty cool idea, you know? That might be a good solution for EVs. You know, everybody's worried about the battery capacity. You know, if the road could actually somehow supply power, that could solve a lot of problems.
But then who do you think is going to be paying for it? Is this...
Sorry. Don't worry about that now.
Sorry.
We'll tack it onto the national debt, all right?
Speaking of costs, $353,000 per kilometer.
Woo!
I don't know
which
how much
is about
it is,
what 0.62 miles. So going on a quarter,
wouldn't
three quarters of a million dollars
a combination?
About 600 grand, yeah.
Yeah.
In what about those speed bumps, though, that made electricity? Remember those? You could, like, alternate it.
Or they have the
speed bumps on the highway?
No, well, they had...
They're like in Burger King, right?
Yes, yes. But there was another one. There was an English supermarket. Store. Yes, I forget the name of the company, but they put these piezoelectric plates in the parking lot.
Sainsbury,
yes. So every time a car drives over it, it generates electricity, and they had enough to power the checkout lanes, which is surprising because you'd think that takes a lot of power to run the registers and the lights and whatever. So that's pretty cool.
But I always thought it'd be neat, you know, like the slot cars worked. They had the probe hanging down from underneath, making contact. I always thought that would be cool until someone walks across the street and gets electrocuted.
So this might be a little better solution than burying the strips, because they say it works like, what, an electric toothbrush type thing where you don't actually have to have the metal contacts touching. It uses like magnetism or something.
Yeah.
So you can't like electrocute yourself, which is too bad.
Sounds like a nice way to get tumors.
It does. It's
way to think positive, tumor. Michelle.
Well, it's a bit Tesla-esque in the sense that they're transferring electricity through the air with no wires.
Mm-hmm. And it's not real.
Yes.
Well, they have it installed at the South Korean university that's working on it. It says they've got, three buses or something running on it around campus?
They've managed to get a light bulb to glow.
Hey.
I mean, come on, that's progress.
So, yeah. A little bit of green technology. Who knows if this will ever catch on mainstream, but they're working on it in Korea. But we've also got another green-themed story. And Eric, if I recall, you found this one. It's pretty interesting because it's a conventional technology, but they're really trying to refine it.
Yeah. So this company in Camarillo, California, has come up with this system where they take gasoline and inject it into the combustion chamber, superheated and at super high pressure along with a catalyst. And because of that, you can eliminate the spark plug. It has a more complete combustion, and supposedly you're getting a minimum of a 20% improvement in efficiency just based off of that. And depending on how you do some things, it could be as much as a 50% improvement.
Wow. That's a pretty
big... What's the difference in this and diesel? It sounds almost the same.
It basically is almost like a diesel. It's like diesel, except it's using gasoline.
Well, the article, I assume it's direct injection.
Yes.
To be diesel-like, first of all. But it says what they're doing is they're heating and... Well, pressurizing,
yeah.
But I mean, you need a high pressure with direct injection anyway. But the key thing, it looks like they're heating the fuel in advance to help it vaporize as it goes into the cylinder, and then they're also adding an oxidizer to the fuel to help it burn.
That's right, Greg.
So is this different than HCCI, which I know nothing about? But I thought it
sounds
was like...
a little similar the way I read it. Now I'm no engineer. But
they're quoting some other thing. They're quoting some mileage numbers and some percentage gains, but they don't say what it's based off of, mm-hmm. or you know what vehicle they were using. Yeah. So it's in some ways I'm a little suspect of it, but it's also published in Technology Review, which is put out by MIT.
Mm.
So you got to believe it's got exactly. You doubt it in one area, but it's you know got some legitimacy just based off of where it's coming from.
Definitely. So I mean. One of the benefits of running direct injection, I know, is that you can up the compression ratio of the engine because as the fuel goes into the cylinder directly, it absorbs some of the heat, so that prevents the knock that you would normally get. But I wonder if that still applies when you're actually heating the fuel before you inject it. I don't know if you get the same benefits or not. Plus, it says they have an oxidizer. How much does that cost to add to the fuel? I mean,
well, that was my biggest question.
In the article, they say the cost isn't much more than a high end fuel injection system. So, yes, there are added costs, but
I mean, of the fuel.
Hard to say. You know, maybe it's no worse than having to put urea in a modern diesel.
Which that's ridiculously expensive, depending on which company you're going with. Right?
Well, yeah, if you're going down to O'Reilly, it's $7 a gallon. If you go to the Mercedes dealership, they're going to charge you like $200 for the same gallon.
Go to the men's room.
Right.
Drink a lot of beer. Open the
exactly. Fill your tank. So yeah. What were the efficiency numbers they were saying here?
20 to 50%.
50%? That's incredible.
So they say.
Yeah. It sounds too good to me. I'm sorry, but you'd think someone at the OEMs would have figured this out if it were true. I'm a little skeptical. And apparently your dogs are too, Michelle.
Let's say that's skeptical of the dog right there.
So yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't agree.
That's one smart bitch. So yeah, who knows when that technology will come out. I don't know, sounds a little snake oily, but like you said, Eric, yeah. MIT.
Yeah, no worse than John Coletti's company, so.
Yeah, what is that called? The Pistons something?
The double boxer opposed X motor or whatever that thing is, yeah.
The coming out tomorrow engine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Coming out of the closet, maybe.
Moving along.
Yes, next story. There we are.
Right on time.
Do you just fix it in post? You fix everything in post.
Just let me know when I need to fix something in post, and I'll do it.
All right.
Sometimes I forget.
Yeah, I doubt you will. Zach, you've got our next story. It seems like BMW is a little green with envy at all the other automakers that offer front-wheel drive. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, you know, the big one of the big lures of BMW is that most of their offerings are rear-wheel drive, and those that aren't rear-wheel drive are all-wheel drive. And that's one of their driving dynamics sort of things. But Autocar is saying that we could be expecting a front-wheel drive model from them soon. And they're saying that it's going to be based on the Mini platform, and it should compete with the new Audi A1.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not so sure. I mean, I don't understand why BMW would build a car to compete with the Mini, essentially, because the A1 competes with the Mini, and BMW owns Mini.
That seems stupid right there.
And it's not like the Mini's a low-price car to begin with.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
But maybe they're going, they think they can slice and dice the market like GM into these tiny slivers, and, well, the BMW customer that wants a small car wouldn't consider the Mini.
Because that's worked so well for GM, right?
Exactly.
Right?
What's your stance on this, Michelle? Does it make sense to you from like a dealership car buyer marketing perspective?
It doesn't make any sense to me at all. I mean, unless they're doing it because it would somehow offset, it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Really, if it was going to maybe offset some of their fuel consumption and like raise the levels, but that doesn't. I don't know.
If the Mini weren't selling well, maybe they could spread the cost out, is what you're saying, doing a little BMW that might get them some more sales out of it.
Yeah, but the Mini's doing fine.
Yeah, so.
The Mini's doing fine, and really, this car wouldn't come to America anyway, right? I mean, Americans despise luxury small cars, evidently.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it would make much sense financially either for them, so I don't know.
And it waters down the brand, in my opinion. BMW is the ultimate driving machine, or the joy in driving bullshit they're running now.
Because they haven't done anything to water down their brand in the last 10 years, right?
This would just be the kicker, I think, if they were to do it. I mean, it just
is their Cimarron?
Yeah, basically, or Elante.
So they're making a new smart 4.4.
What?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Somebody talk.
I was just saying there's nothing wrong with Elante, that's all.
Friend-a-roomie.
Friend-a-roo. No, they're making a new smart 4.4, though. I'm reading this article. Oh. Yes, it says in the article that's one of the things this would be competing with. And I mean, I thought smart was pretty much done. I was kind of told that they would be gone from this country within the year.
Yeah, because their sales are just dumb.
Well, this is a British publication there we're quoting from or reading.
Autocar.
That's true.
Consider the source, right, Zach?
That's right.
It's the TMZ of British automotive reporting.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of the stuff that comes out of Autocar is just, you know, outrageous rumors, and they turn out to be not true within a day or two. So
that means lies.
Sometimes I like their over-the-top renderings of cars.
Well, that's cool, you know, as just a dicking around sort of thing, but and in the end, it doesn't really add too much to the discussion. That's my stance on Autocar. Just saying.
Yeah, so we'll have maybe so basically this rumor of a front wheel drive small BMW, and we're talking small, like smaller than the 1 Series. This may just be a lie.
The 0.5.
Well, yes, what would they call it? The 0.5? That's a very good point, Michelle. Because one is...
And it would still weigh over 3,000 pounds, right?
I read a couple of sites that were calling it the Zero Series or the O Series. I was like, there's no way BMW's going to come out with an O Series.
It'd have to be the O Series. Like, oh my God, what were you thinking?
Yeah, but over there they'd call it the Not Series.
The Not Series.
You're not serious about buying and owning that car, are you?
Where's that drum roll, Ben? Right on it.
There it is.
That was a drum roll.
He's like lightning. He's like lightning.
It's like lightning from what's that show?
Amos and Andy.
Yeah, there it is.
Hey,
hi ho.
Drum roll. You called for a drum roll.
I'm sorry. Whatever. Well, what's the other one called?
Rimshot.
Rimshot. What?
Rimshot.
Anyway, everything. It's got a laugh track. I love it. I feel validated now, Ben.
Greg finally feels funny.
Yay! Okay. So BMW rumors, one series, something. Michelle, you've got our next story on the list.
Indeed I do.
It's kind of like the luck of the Irish here, don't you think?
I'm not sure. other than the fact that, you know, Texas is famous for its football teams and this team is in Florida, so I'm maybe they got lucky and they became Texans overnight.
Tell us. Tell us about it.
Tell you?
Please.
So, we talked about this case before, but there was a team that was using the Dodge Ram logo on their for their football team's mascot, and it was on their helmets and their posters and all that stuff. And so Dodge decided to send them a cease and desist, and that if they didn't stop using the logo, they were going to sue them. But they have reached, I think the public outcry was, you know, a big part of it, and Chrysler can't do much to keep on the good side of people. So they finally relented, and now the high school is allowed to use the Dodge. It's the Lake Mary High School is allowed to
in
use
in Texas, right?
In Florida, are allowed to use the Dodge Ram logo, but they have to have the signs that say that they're a, what is it? It's something about they're a Christ. Third proud partner of Chrysler. Lake Mary, proud partner of Chrysler.
That's ridiculous. I mean, well, first of all, how stupid are they to just steal the ram head? Because that's what they used for their mascot logo.
It is really stupid.
Hey, you drive a Dodge truck, we'll just copy that and nobody will notice. Apparently somebody in Auburn Hills did.
Because so much for copyright law, right?
Yeah. We're a public school. Nobody will sue us. It'll be fine.
Well, you know how silly all of those ad campaigns are for Chrysler right now? You know, I am Dodge and, you know, I am Jeep and all that stuff. All the Chrysler accounts started following me in Spanish this week on Twitter.
¿Cómo te llamas?
Yeah, I started realizing how stupid it is to say, like, estoy Ram.
What was that, Michelle?
That was all the Spanish.
Estoy Ram.
Estoy Rama.
I don't no speak of the Spanish.
It's sorry. Not like the Chevy commercial in Spanish during the Super Bowl.
What was that one? I didn't watch it was, the Super it wasn't Bowl. This it's
year's,
a sporting
it wasn't this year's. It was last year's, actually.
Mm. Okay.
Oh, well, in that case,
good story.
Craig definitely watched.
Yes. Well, at least Chrysler and this Lake Mary High School in Florida were able to reach a friendly agreement, you know? As
Lake
ridiculous
Mary, Texas.
As it sounds. Jeff, from a Floridian standpoint, what do you make of this? Good deal, bad deal?
Well, I've always wondered how some high school teams get away with stealing NFL logos like they do.
Yeah.
But I could just imagine if this were a Toyota logo or Kia, I think, is anal about their stuff. But I don't understand how they're allowed to use it.
Yeah. It was an oversight by whoever picked it, obviously. But, hey, Lake Mary, proud partner of Chrysler. And I'm looking at the camera. So, okay, good. That's enough of that. Okay, so what's our next story here, guys? Oh, of course. Fits our St. Patrick's Day theme quite nicely, I would say.
God, cut him off. He's snuckered already.
I've been drinking since lunchtime. No, not really. I'd be dead.
Oh, God.
So, all right. Ford, they've got a brand new paddy wagon to show. Kind of surprising. The Crown Victoria, as you should know, has been around since, what, the Cretaceous? Maybe a little earlier? And finally, they're getting rid of it in 2011. And they've revealed, I believe today it was, they revealed their new police car, basically. And nobody, they had announced it before, if I remember, right, guys? They had announced this like a few months ago, I think.
That they were doing a new car.
Yeah, yeah. But they never really said what it was going to be or what platform it was based on. So everybody was trying to, was guessing and hoping for a certain vehicle from a certain other country slash continent, but...
Shouldn't they have debuted this at OCP headquarters here in Detroit?
Oh, what? What's OCP?
Zach, would you like to help him?
I have no idea what OCP means.
RoboCop.
Oh, wow.
Because what were the cop cars in RoboCop? They were?
Tauruses.
Oh, look at that connection.
Tauruses.
That's clever. So, yeah, people were like... wondering what the car would be, you know, new Ford police car. Are they going to make a new platform? Is it going to be a new? Is it going to be based off the Mustang for rear wheel drive? Are they going to import the Australian Falcon? That's rear wheel drive as well, or are they going to like use the Taurus platform, which is what I thought it would be all along. I figured they were going to do like a modified Taurus show type car would be more than
with
the
massaging
police would
be. Fingers.
Yes, the massaging finger seat. So do you guys think a front-wheel drive vehicle is going to be tough enough for police duty?
Nope.
No, that was a quick answer. I know you've mentioned the Impalas before, Zach. You think this will have the same fate?
I do. Any unibody car is in a rough spot already, you know? Cops have typically used body-on-frame cars just because they're
well,
tough.
Well, that's... the Crown Vic, that's it.
Right, and that's exactly why it lasted so long, you know? I mean, it's archaic technology, but it's tough as nails, you know? You combine unibody with front-wheel drive, and it's going to be weak. I mean, cops are not going to like this.
But it's going to have a lot of benefits, I would think, because the Crown Vic, the packaging isn't that good. You probably get a lot more interior room on the Taurus, a lot better fuel economy.
And it comes with sync.
All-wheel drive.
So you can call out your Bad Boys theme while you're busting them.
I'm not so sure that the interior room's all that much better in the new Taurus than it is in a Crown Vic, to be honest with you.
I think it's bigger than a Crown Vic. I think I've compared specs in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Taurus offers more interior volume than a Crown Vic, if I'm not mistaken.
But I mean, come on, the standard V6 in this car is going to have 200, at least they say 263 horsepower. But the new Edge that's coming out with the updated 3.5 liter V6 engine has 200, what, I think 65 horsepower. So that's probably what it's going to have, the base engine. When you can get the EcoBoost in it as well, which is their twin turbo V6 version of that engine. And that's good for, what, 365, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly?
You know, I assume they'll be able to get the all-wheel drive version as well,
yes.
Which, you know, that would be ideal for departments that, you know, operate up north where you get a lot of snow and ice and stuff like that.
Exactly. Good in the inclement weather. A lot more power than what does the Crown Vic have, like 239 horsepower from its 4.6 liter V8? This has got 365 with the EcoBoost.
Yeah, but it's not about horsepower, it's about torque when you got it moving a big old boat.
I guarantee you the base V6 Taurus would be faster than the Crown Vic. 0 to 60, quarter mile, whatever. Come on.
See, I don't understand the argument. This all goes back to, like, the Mustang having a solid rear axle argument. It's like people just want a solid frame, rear-wheel drive police car because that's what it's always been. And, you know, I'm sure the Dodge Charger's not body on frame.
No,
so.
It's not. No.
Yeah.
I think this will surprise you, Zach. I think they'll like this car. Just from the fuel efficiency alone, it's got to be worth it.
You know? But I mean, officers on the street don't care about fuel efficiency. I mean, I think you'll see a lot of them. I think you'll see a lot of them on the street at first, and then I don't think you'll see any of them. Just like the old Impalas. You know, you saw a rash of the old Impalas when GM was really pushing them. And then everybody realized that they broke in two, and they stopped buying them.
Well, that's all that Jacksonville uses. They don't. They have Tahoes and Impalas. That's it.
Yeah, because it's just flat as a pancake down there. There's no risk of bending a frame anywhere down there. I'm kidding, obviously.
So that'd be a...
Jeff's offended.
Evidently, I'm sorry.
You called my state flat.
It's better than calling me flat.
Oh!
I got suspended from elementary school.
For calling a girl flat?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Story time with Jeff Ross. Story time with Jeff
Great,
Ross.
Great.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
It was seventh grade with Mr. Rogus.
Go on.
And I just commented that a girl was not well endowed upstairs, and I got suspended for a day.
It's a vacation.
You know, I've kind of got to respect this teacher. You know, he was supporting. You know,
this has been a story with Zach.
Jeff Bob Ross.
Jeff Bob Ross. Grocery store chain asshole. He was encouraging you to not objectify women at a young age. That's good. That's
but in remarkable. Seventh grade back then, pretty much all girls were flat. Nowadays, I can't.
All the hormones in the beef we eat.
Yeah,
exactly.
But back then it was normal. It just happened. She was the only girl I could make fun of at the moment.
Did you just walk up to her? You don't have any boobs. What did you say?
That would have been too mean.
Charming. Okay. That's enough of that. Okay, so new
Zach
Ford
Chronicle.
Zach
is my favorite feminist.
Why?
I'm not kidding. Because you defend women. It's really funny. And I don't think most people would expect that of you. But you do. I think it's cool.
Zach likes women.
I do, in fact. Well, thank you, Michelle. I appreciate that. Redefining what it means to be a Southern male since 1985.
Down in the South. Yeah. So, okay, guys, Ford's got their new police interceptor. We'll have to wait and see how it does in the market, if the police departments take to it, or if they cling on to their Crown Vicks for dear life. But let's take a quick break. I wanted to talk here a minute about some of our fan art again. If you swing over to our website, roundaboutshow.com, you can click on the ROAB Emporium button. It's on the right sidebar. There's a little dollar sign there. Just click on the guy, and oh, thanks, Cafe Press. Apparently, they're down.
But in theory.
So anyway, like I was saying, go to the ROAB Emporium, click on the button in the right sidebar of the website, takes you to the little store we've got. And if you look, you can see that we've got some fan T-shirts. We've got a couple that Ben has whipped up from some fan-submitted artwork. Luke did a couple drawings for us. Those are on the T-shirts there. You can check them out. And also our friend on Facebook did another one with Friend-a-Roo.
Mirko Reinhardt.
Yes, Mirko Reinhardt. So check that out. Some great stuff there. Shows just how involved you guys are, and we appreciate that whenever you send us stuff. So keep it coming. We've got
our group portrait, which we requested from Luke. Mm-hmm. We've got sort of a bonus from Luke, which is a smattering of roundabout
segments,
tropes,
like.
Segments, story time with Zach Bowman, Cath Chat, Highway Hearsay, Blind Spot, etc. Okay. And then from Mirko, we have a Friend-a-Roo T-shirt, which features Michelle.
Yes. Friend-a-Roo-y.
But you know what's funny? My parents didn't buy the Friend-a-Roo one. My parents bought Luke's cartoon of all of us.
That's my favorite.
They needed some rags to polish their car with.
No, they love T-shirts. And they're like, do you want some? We'll buy you all of them.
You should have said yes.
Yes.
And Ben, quickly, raise the prices.
All right.
Hurry.
Woo, woo.
Red alert. Somebody's going to buy something.
Now you just change the unit currency from dollars to pounds.
Simoleons.
Euros.
Yeah. Pounds sterling.
Yes.
What's this squiggly L mean? I don't know. Just place the
Everything's in Linden dollars.
Oh, God. So, yeah, if you guys get a chance, please swing by the Roab Emporium and check out our wares. We've got quite a fine selection of items there. Mighty fine, mighty fine.
But mighty fine.
Mighty fine.
Ow, ow.
You need to make a sound effect of that, Ben.
Ow, ow.
All right, so now it's time for our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. This week's story is all about, well, Michelle, why don't you explain it to us? You might have a better understanding of it. Right, Michelle?
Well,
apparently.
That's right, Greg.
You know what's kind of... I'll tell you a story about this story.
Back in college.
I told you, Craig. He asked me, how is it going to go when I say this to Michelle? And I said, she's going to have a story.
Back in college, we were going to get a bikini wax, and...
Yeah. You don't shave before a wax, Craig, but if you grew hair, you'd know that.
God.
It's funny every time.
I hate you guys.
His voice is getting higher.
Yes.
So, yeah, a 37-year-old woman was involved in a crash because she was driving while shaving her bikini area in Florida. Florida's really big in the news this week.
With some good crazy jobs down here.
What's her name? Something Ross. Wasn't it?
She had a couple kids in tow, I think.
First wife.
Twins. Twin girls.
Well, and it's just sad for Florida because, well, she was on her way to meet her boyfriend.
With
and I guess
ex-husband?
Wanted to look really good, you know, whatever. And the state trooper that gave the report to the paper actually said that it was kind of funny because 4 years ago exactly, he stopped a guy like in the exact same spot with four syringes sticking in his arm.
Holy crap.
That's making Florida just sound so charming.
I mean, I'm more interested in the syringe guy at this point.
I know.
Was he like, all right, so there are three in there. If I get one more, I can pop them out. I don't know.
So
well,
what? So
are we surprised that she was arrested the day before for a DUI?
That's the funny part. Well, or she was driving a 95 Thunderbird. What's the funniest part of this story? I'm not sure.
I don't know. But, you know, I remember a friend of mine years ago that when we first got the internet was going on and trying to figure out how strippers shaved.
Oh, no.
And she, like, ordered all the supplies that strippers use, I guess, called – there's, like, something called Bikini Zone, right, that keeps the bumps off. Like, guys even use it on their face, too, apparently. And so she used to drive – she had a basket in her car. So – like a little wicker basket.
like you'd see in a bathroom or something with paper towels.
Yes, with all of her shaving supplies so that like if she happened to have a date after work, she could just go straight in the car. And-
Oh.
Wow.
TMI, Michelle. Oh. This is a family program?
Not anymore.
We breached that on episode two, I think.
Exactly.
Your dad's learned a lot today, Ben.
So, okay, but the creepiest part of the story for me, and maybe this isn't weird, but you guys can explain. She was driving to meet her boyfriend, but with her ex-husband in the car. Is that weird?
Well, shaving her lady area. What the f***?
Yeah, I mean, why wasn't he shaving for her while she drove?
That would have been the safe
That's
thing
my question.
To do.
That would have been inappropriate touching.
Yeah, he's an ex, not the current.
Oh, sorry.
Well, there's nothing appropriate about this situation.
Usually, you know stories. Usually, you know stories from this are from the South when a guy's name when a man is reported in a story something like this, they use all three names. Now, when they use all three names for a woman, ooh, this really is Tales from the South.
Why? What was her name? What
Megan Mariah Barnes.
There you go. Is it Mariah Barnes hyphenated or?
No.
No. Not even close, Craig. So there you go. Apparently, it's dangerous to groom yourself.
Well, it's not hyphenated. No, because her ex-husband's name is Charles Judy.
Second ex, maybe.
I'm sitting here at my desk. I wish there was a webcam.
Grooming yourself?
I'm trying. I'm trying to figure out how in a Thunderbird she was placing her legs. I don't even know how she.
Maybe she had like left leg out the window because some people drive like that, you know.
She had the seat leaned way back,
and one leg up on the dash.
Ugh. Jeff, it's called cruise control. You just set it and forget it. Another guy can steer from the passenger seat. The X. That's all you really need, apparently. So yeah, don't be grooming yourself behind the wheel. The same, you know, putting on eyeliner, ladies, or you know. Yes. All right. And with that disturbing story, I think we can move on and take a peek at what we've had in the garage this week. All righty. We've had a veritable cornucopia of cars this week, so we've had to kind of pare it down a little bit. Three of us have been driving things, at least. And, Zach, why don't you start us off? What have you been in for a couple days here?
All right, I've been in the new 2010 Kia Forte SX, so that's the four-door. It's got the 2.4 four-cylinder, six-speed manual transmission.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really excited to get in this car because, you know, it looks good. You know, I know a lot of people are saying that the styling is sort of derived from the Civics and crap like that, which, no. You know, whatever. Kia is not exactly known for their original designs. But it looks like a good little car. You know, the specs read well. It gets pretty good fuel economy. I think this model gets up to like 32 or so, which isn't great for a small car, but, you know, whatever.
Well, you got a bigger engine, 2.4.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a pretty sizable motor. I don't know exactly what the output is.
Like 170-something, 174.
Yeah, which that's respectable for a four-cylinder. But I will give you a quick rundown of my first 5 minutes in this car, okay?
Because it's a manual. You had the manual, right?
I had the manual. And I have to preface this by saying that I own three vehicles, all of which are manual, okay? The only automatic I've ever owned was the Lincoln, and I drove it less than 1,000 miles, okay? So I get in this manual Forte, and I put it in reverse, and I go to backup, and I stall it. And I'm like, okay, well, that happens sometimes. To this day, I still stall a car on occasion. So I put it in reverse again, and it stalls. And I put it in reverse again a third time, and it stalls.
Did you have the brake on?
No. I just could not get this thing to go in reverse, the easiest goddamn gear on the planet. So I finally get it out of the driveway by essentially just destroying the clutch, right? Right?
That's what it was like teaching Ben to drive a stick.
I'm like, hey. I'm so sorry to be doing this, but I have no other way of getting this car to the store. So I get it out on the road, and, you know, I'm trying to get the sunroof open, and I'm clicking the f***ing button for the sunroof to open, and it won't open. Like, the button will not f***ing actuate. So after doing that for, like 30 seconds, it finally, you know, makes contact and opens the damn sunroof.
You see, that's not actually a switch. It's a smoke signal that has to send a carrier pigeon and then a telegraph to get the roof open. So there's a slight delay.
So that was my first 5 minutes, and that was when I started sending, you know, spite-laden tweets about, you know, how shitty the transmission is, because there's something seriously bizarre with the drivetrain on this car.
So I'm not crazy then, because I went off on it when I had the same car.
No, absolutely not. It's incredibly difficult to find that sweet spot where you just get a smooth takeoff, especially if you're on any hill. Yesterday, I did a burnout in front of a cop, accidentally. At all. Like, there was a little bit of water on the pavement, and I was like, okay, easy. that's what we want right here, right now.
Did you get any whiplash driving it? Because that was a problem I had trying to figure it out.
Yes, you know, you make the first to second jump, and it's I swear brutal. To God, it has boiled me down to being 15 years old and terrified with my dad in the passenger seat. Like, that's what this car feels like. I just feel like I'm going to either stall it or destroy the clutch all the time. And I've resorted to driving it like a tractor, like just putting it in one gear taller than I think it should be in at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to work. So, I don't know.
Automatic is what we're saying.
Yeah, I've been driving it since Tuesday, and it's starting to get better. I'm starting to get smoother with it. And I actually let my wife drive it because I was like, you will not believe how bad this is. And she did just fine. And she's like, it reminds me of my Toyota Echo. I was like, that's why. Yeah. That's why. Right there.
You know, at the very end when I gave it back, I found that shifting absolutely as fast as I could seemed to help out a lot. You might want to try that.
Okay.
Just but, like...
otherwise, the car is great. It. I mean, it's really bizarre how well this car handles. It does not have an independent rear suspension. It's got a torsion beam in the back. But the little sucker's freaking nailed to the road. It's unreal.
And did you like the steering feel? Very, very tight.
It's very tight, very responsive, as are the brakes. They did a good job on both of those. And it's a fun little car to toss around. You know, it's just that the transmission just ruins it. You know, it's like going on a date with a girl and seeing
a
giant hair coming out of her nose or something. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's something else to get used to. And I think you would probably get used to the transmission eventually. It's just you would never be able to drive another manual transmission for the rest of your life.
You'd be corrupted.
So is the flywheel too light in this thing? Is that what
it's not too light. It's got to be too heavy because you put your foot on the accelerator to the floor. One, two, then the tack climbs, okay?
That's exactly what I said.
And then it just sits there. It just stays in the stratosphere for a good, I don't know, hour and a half. I mean, you could go inside and make yourself a cup of tea, drink the tea.
Play a game of Yahtzee.
Yeah, exactly. And it would still be at like 5,000 RPM. Like if you haven't driven one, go try it. It's like a fun house. It's like an automotive fun house. Which is sad because I really wanted to like this car. I really did. And I think the automatic, as much as it pains me to say this, would be the better car to have. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, on the opposite end of the Korean spectrum, Eric, you were in a Hyundai.
Yeah, I had the Hyundai Genesis V8 sedan for not quite four and a half days. And I guess we should stop being surprised by how good Hyundai stuff is because they just make really good stuff. And this thing was phenomenally good.
Mm-hmm.
Interior materials were really nice. One or two little things I can gripe about, just like some plastic on the steering wheel and in the center console, could be a little different, a little better material. The electronics for their whatever you want to call their MMI system are
pretty good.
Not bad. It's one of those things that it probably can be solved with a software update, like a point up, you know, if it's 1.4, it could be like a 1.5 update and it would solve some stuff. Try to scroll through songs either by artist or by album was a pain in the ass because if you turn the knob fast, it wouldn't go, it just kept going through it. It wouldn't go like on an iPod. If you go fast enough, it'll all of a sudden just go alphabetically and it wouldn't do that. And there were a few other things, but as far as it drove, it was fabulous. That V8 in there was unbelievably good.
Ward's 10 best.
Really, really good torque. You got it above 2,000 RPMs, and it hit almost like a Mustang V8. It had that kind of torque feel to it. So, if I were to compare it to some other, I kept thinking mentally like, okay, this or an SHO Taurus, and I would take that because there was similar pricing.
Mm-hmm.
It felt a much. Yeah. they're both about 43 grand. It felt smaller and more nimble. Where the Taurus feels like a big car, this felt much smaller.
But there was plenty of room.
There was at least as much, if not more, room in the Hyundai than there was in the Taurus. Mm-hmm. Maybe not width wise, elbow room wise. Maybe the Taurus would be a little bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as leg room, front and back, and trunk room, the Genesis was at least as good, if not better.
Cool. Very nice car. Hyundai's going places.
Like that car a lot. Mm-hmm. Really impressed.
Screams, too, with that 4.6 Tau V8. Gets up and goes.
It does.
Now,
I just like the name, the Tau V8. That's like the best name for a V8 ever.
Not Stratostar, Zach?
No, I'm pass on that one.
Invincible V8?
No, we're good.
No. Okay, fine. Just throwing those out there. You do know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I do.
Okay, very good. Okay. So I was on the... I got to drive something this week. Yay, me! Something very depressing. I was depressed by this car. I'm sorry. And that is the Toyota Camry Hybrid. Need I say more?
I'm glad you're still alive.
You what?
I'm amazed you came out of the coma this quick, honestly.
Well, you know, the problem for me wasn't so much the unintended acceleration, it was the intended acceleration. The car is slow. Yeah. It just doesn't move very well. No, actually, it
Craig moved. Was begging for unintended acceleration.
Yes, to get on
please.
The freeway. No, the drive is, the engine is smooth, the connection between the hybrid mode and the regular gas mode, that transition is very smooth. It's decently quick. It's not like a sloth. You don't feel like you're endangering your life getting on the expressway or something. It's a very comfortable car, very quiet, but that's about it, really. It's as much the anti-choice as you can get for a vehicle. And I still cannot fathom how they sell 400,000+ of these a year, you know?
$33,204.
Yes. $33,000 for the Camry Hybrid.
And it gets 33 miles to the gallon.
In the city. 34 on the highway. Good numbers, but
and
not the best.
Similar, for the same money, you could get a Fusion Hybrid, which is...
8 better in the city.
Yeah.
They were trumpeting, I remember. 41, I believe.
41. Yeah. I mean, I got 40 just even in mixed driving in the Fusion
Damn.
Hybrid, so...
It's really good.
That's a lot. I mean, that's significant.
I mean, I don't like hybrids in general, because they sacrifice so much, you know, just for a little bit better fuel economy. I mean, you're giving up styling, you're giving up handling, design, driving dynamics, performance, everything, just for better fuel economy, a little bit better fuel economy. And it's just not worth the trade-off, you know, at least not right now, with gas relatively cheap in this country, in the U.S. So, I don't know. I mean, this thing was expensive and really... I haven't been in a Toyota in that long. I was kind of disappointed. They're always trumpeting quality and everything, but like the fit and finish, not that good. Not that good. So, I don't know. And then driving it, I'd say it's like a boat, but that's an insult to watercraft. Because this thing just, it rides well. It's very quiet, like I said, but it just rolls around. The steering response, you put an input into the wheel, and then there's like a second long delay before like the back end moves. It feels bizarre. It's just
the strings and the pulleys got to catch up.
Exactly. So, not a fan. Have any of you guys driven the Camry Hybrid or the Camry recently?
I haven't.
Well,
I haven't.
Count your stars. I mean, I'm sure Toyota is going to. They're coming up with a redesign of this car pretty soon. I mean, when does this body style date back to? Like, I'm thinking 2004, 2005, maybe.
No.
So it's been around a while. It's got to be getting towards the end of its life cycle. So I'm sure they're working on, you know.
Mudmonster says 2007, so maybe you're off there.
Really? That soon? Maybe. Maybe
it just feels like that long.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. So, yeah, Camry Hybrid. Not a big fan. Solid, quiet product, but not for me. But Ben, I think it's time for a new segment now. Something a little different.
And now it's time for this week's Roundabout Update.
a Roundabout Update. That's right. We have a brief news update to bring you up to speed on. In case the diesel torque wars weren't raging on enough, here's some more fuel for the fire. Last week we reported, it was last week, right? Might have been the week before. I don't know. I can't remember yesterday, so it doesn't matter. But we had reported that the new Super Duty, the Ford Super Duty truck, it's getting a brand new Power Stroke diesel. We reported a mountain of torque. What is it, 735 pound-feet? A ton of torque right there. Really, probably more than you'd ever need. But GM, they beg to differ, I think, because they came out with their numbers for the new, the updated heavy-duty Silverado and GMC Sierra. And if 735 in the Ford is not enough for you, you can get 765 pound-feet out of the new Duramax. Holy crap.
At 3,000 RPM.
Yeah.
That's almost more than the Tundra and Titan put together.
Why don't they just shoot for 1,000 pound feet and call it an even number?
That's at 1,600 RPM. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say 3,000. That's a red line.
Well, that's when it makes its horsepower, 397 horsepower, 3,000.
And at that point, why didn't you just, like, tweak two things in your fuel curve and just make it an even 400? I know.
I wonder how long it's going to be before we start seeing drive shafts just snap the fuck out of these trucks, you know? That is a shit ton of torque, right?
But, I mean, it's just like Ford did last month with the Mustang versus the Camaro, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The Mustang has now got 306 horsepower to 305. I mean, it's just a big pissing match.
Yeah. Yeah, but how easy would it be for Ford to get 800 pound feet? Just adjust something. Not that it matters at this point.
Just the fuel curve?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, when is enough enough?
Never.
Never.
It's America.
That's right. That's Michelle, is bigger always better?
God. I mean, this really is a pissing match. I don't get this at all. Because it's getting beyond the point of being even practical at all. I mean, like, what would you pull with that?
A mountain, Kilimanjaro.
When Ford made the F-450 into a pickup truck, it should have just stayed a cabin chassis, and that's all they're doing. They're trying to come out with the biggest, most powerful truck, and now GM's doing that too.
Yeah.
My question is, who's swayed by this kind of crap, you know? Like who looks at that and they think, oh, well, that's got, you know, 5 extra foot-pounds. I got to have that one. That's that 5 extra foot-pound. That's the difference right there.
It's probably just bragging rights, because then Chevy can put the print ad in the magazine. Best in class torque. You won't get more at Dodge. You won't get more at Ford.
Right.
Chevy.
The funny thing about this is the same day that GMC announced that, Ford had put on their website, like, class-leading torque, class-leading fuel economy.
Best in class.
That quickly came down. Yeah.
Poke in eye.
Yep. So there you go. If enough isn't enough, you can always get more torque.
Too much is never enough.
Yeah. So
until
cool.
You start blowing up rear ends.
Yeah. Well, that's a
why you have an Allison. That's why you have an Allison transmission.
Instead of rear ends.
Yeah. So cool. That's our roundabout news update, and with that, we can move on to our next segment.
Tales from the Open Road.
Highway Hearsay is all about what we've seen out on the road, from weird sightings to the stupid things people do. And Eric, I understand you have a bit of a rant you wanted to go off on.
Yeah, it's sort of a two-pronged thing. One of it, and it begins with the with Michigan's rules about getting a driver's license.
I mean, there are no rules, basically.
Essentially, where you don't have to read or speak English.
Or even be a citizen.
Yes. a citizen, whatever. No comment. But read or speak English to take the exam. You can have it in any one of 31 different languages. And if that's not easy enough for you, you can have a translator there to tell you the answers for you. Or, I'm sorry, to translate the questions for you so that you can
fill
it out.
I was not aware of that.
Yes.
So no sprechen English.
Yeah. And part of this is maybe other parts of the country have other areas where there's a
need to fill, maybe.
No. Well, what I'm saying is there are people who haven't been in the country, a large population who haven't been in the country very long.
Dearborn?
Yes.
Okay.
It's specifically not only just Dearborn, but the east side of Dearborn. This is very prominent. Down Greenfield Road, where I live, about 2-3 miles, is the fire station for the east side of Dearborn. Well, when they decide to come out on, it doesn't matter what road it is, no one pulls over. They just stop where they are. So, I mean, one of the first things you learn in driver's education was when there's an emergency vehicle, police, fire, ambulance, pull off to the side of the road, right? No. They stop in the lane.
Put it in park. Get out of the car.
Doesn't matter if they're in a turn lane. Doesn't matter if they're, you know. And this is what makes it better. Part of Greenfield, part of Ford Road,
which is another – is a divided divided boulevard, mm-hmm. right? One lane. So if the emergency vehicle is on the other side of the boulevard, they still stop going the opposite direction.
So there's just a traffic jam. Basically.
Exactly.
How often do you see this?
Nearly every day.
So pretty frequently then?
Yes. So okay. as I say, your mileage may vary, but this has been my experience, and I've seen it a lot in the last few weeks. Not that I hadn't seen it before, but yeah. It sort of just
gets under your skin.
Two,
right?
3 days ago, I'm like, hello, people.
Move.
So, yes.
Get out of the way.
Anyways.
It's got to put plows on the front of the emergency vehicles.
So anyways,
pushers.
That's that's my Dennis Miller. I don't mean to go on a rant here, but.
Well, I think we can call it, make a new segment there, Ben, don't you think? Could be Eric Tritko's.
Your mileage may vary.
There you go.
What grinds my gears?
Gets my dander up. Ben, you're on time for once. Sort of.
Screw you.
Screw you, Chris. All right, but I think, Eric, with your little your rant there, I think we can just about wrap things up for episode number 27 of Roundabout. Jeff, you got all your stuff out there on the autotropolis.com. You got any big stories you're working on? Anything exciting coming up?
I will be driving the Cadillac SRX out in Las Vegas.
Oh, Vegas. For a certain event or something, right?
Something's going on out there.
Well, what kind of a party or something?
Yes, it's my bachelor party.
Oh, getting married again. Very
number
nice.
Eight.
Number eight.
Of the year.
You're a baby daddy, aren't you?
Yeah. No, but I'm excited about that. I've always been told that the drive non-interstate from Vegas to L.A. is like one of the best. So
yeah.
Cadillac has hooked me up with a SRX Turbo to Ooh, take.
Very nice.
So it should be fun.
Room for a romp in the back, huh?
Get a couple of them strippers back there.
Absolutely.
You'll rent never get the Deja ups. Vu stripper van?
Yes, since they banned it or something, didn't they? I'll have to do an update on that story. I think so. But Zach Bowman.
Yes, sir.
Wait. Where can they find Jeff's stuff?
I already said Autotropolis, Ben.
Oh, did we? Okay. Yes.
Autotropolis.com. It's a website.
Automotivemetropolis.com.
No, don't confuse people. It's already hard enough to spell out sometimes.
Okay. Autotropolis.com. And Zach
I actually
Bowman.
Tried. Sorry.
Oh my God, we're going to be here forever.
Hey, normally it'd be 8 p.m. by now. You should be happy.
It's true.
I'm just going to say that I can verify Jeff's claim because I just tried typing it like five times into the browser and misspelled it every time. So
that's why I Google search everything, even if I know how to spell it.
And Zachary Bowman, thank you for
yes,
joining
sir.
Us.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you on the show here. But you're all over the internet, more websites than I care to mention or can remember.
That's right.
But what are you working on? Anything?
Yeah, y'all. You can keep an eye out for a review of the Kia Forte on WebRides, blog.webridestv.com. I've got two reviews of the CTS Sportwagon. One's up on blog.webridestv.com, and the other is up on Hooniverse.com.
Two different reviews?
Yeah, they're separate looks at the same car.
Hey, so check that out.
Yeah.
And Michelle Naranjo.
Si.
Por qué?
Por qué, Michelle? Por qué?
Butter, butter, butter.
Exactly. That's what I was just thinking. Thank you, Eric.
I'm not going to ask. Miss Motormouth.
There was an ad on the television that was, it was a guy, his wife had died, and he's going, por qué, por qué? And then the guy goes,
butter.
Oh, like parquet?
Yeah.
I remember the porqué from the Starburst ad where the mariachi band is in the guy's mouth. Ding, ding, ding.
I can feel myself getting older.
Yeah, Zach and Ben need to get their birthday on.
Yes.
I've got nothing going on tonight. Well, not nothing. I've got some friends in, but other than that, I've got zero going. My wife left me. She left me for D.C.,
How nice.
Aww.
No, I told her to.
Get out of the house with it.
bye.
No, she's got some friends coming up, or friends getting together from college, and I didn't want to drive 8 hours on my birthday, so there you go.
All right. Well, what can I finish Michelle's plug now?
I don't know. Okay. I think I should find something else to distract us with. What else we got?
Ben, can you put some puppies up on the screen? I will do the plugs then. Michelle, MissMotormouth.com.
Mm-hmm.
Anything going on there?
I have my new show.
I know. I was going to ask you about that.
Why don't you whisper about it?
So the people can't hear it on an audio podcast.
MingleMedia TV.com. My new show. Tuesdays, 6 p.m.
Pacific? Pacific time?
Pacific, okay. Specifically.
All right, so that'd be 9 p.m. on the East Coast here.
It
Eastern
is.
Time. But what's your show about? What's it called? Mingle Media, it's Michelle, Miss Motormouth?
Yeah, it's a show about, it's actually a show that's pointed more towards women and baby boomers. So I'm sort of skipping all of it.
All
the
of
male stuff
youngsters.
On Tuesdays.
Okay. So check out Michelle's new feminist show every Tuesday. Real good. And Eric Tritko, last but not least, joining me live in the studio right now. RumbleStrip on Twitter, rumblestrip.net. What's up?
New review up this morning, Friday, of the Lincoln MKT.
Well, there you go.
And I would like to thank both Zach and Michelle for helping me out on a couple things with it, with the review. So.
Oh, very cool. Check that out, rumblestrip.net.
Rumblestrip.net.
All right. So a couple things before we go. First of all, if you had sent us story suggestions or links to things in the past couple weeks, maybe even months, I just wanted to apologize. Those emails were going to Ben's account, and apparently his spam filter was catching them. Is that what it was, Ben? And
they all of them. I mean, as Luke will tell you, as Mud Monster will tell you,
our
I got
very
theirs.
Loyal fan.
But I recently discovered that some of our emails submitted through the site that we preach every week, please send us, we're actually going into my spam account. And it is possible some of them got deleted. So if you tried before, try again. I'll monitor it more closely because we do want to hear from you.
Yes, absolutely. We appreciate your feedback. We love the artwork you guys send us. Photoshop jobs, whatever. Terrific. And Ben is always happy to put that on a t-shirt. You can snatch it up from the Roab Emporium, which, let me see if it's working. Oh, nope. Cafe Press is continuing to take a dump on us. So visit there at some point, and hopefully you'll be able to buy something. And good luck.
By the time you listen to this podcast.
Days in the future. Right?
That's
Am I right?
That's right, Craig.
That's right, Craig. I need to hear that more often. Okay. What else do we want to promo here? How about...
I heard you mentioned just how great our fans are. I heard there was actually a study corroborating that.
Funny you mentioned that, Ben, because in fact there was. I went ahead and posted a news article here on our site. There was a recent study about podcasts released, and it shows that proves, in fact, that Roundabout listeners are some of the most engaged of all podcast listeners. And I invite you to check that out. Again, it's on our website, roundaboutshow.com. Some very enlightening numbers in this study, Ben. I was pretty surprised by it myself when I read over it.
Do tell.
I'll quote the article here for a moment. The findings, published last week by the scientific journal New American Podcast Theory and Review, indicate that the consumption of audio programs, particularly podcasts, is on the rise, but that Roundabout was outpacing the overall growth in the industry by a factor of 7. Sevenfold, guys. Can you believe that? Eric, I mean, that's sevenfold.
That's crazy numbers.
I know. That's ridiculously. That's almost unbelievably high. You know?
Madness.
But luckily, not quite unbelievably.
Because it's in a news article. It's fact.
It's true.
It's right here. It's on the internet. Just check it out. The article waxes very poetically about all of our stuff. Very nice. Very fair, balanced article. You should check it out. Again, Roundabout Show.
And if you ever wondered what Mud Monster looked like, there's a picture of him down here on the right side.
Ouch.
Just saying. Dedicated.
He takes his fanboyism to an extreme. Indeed. So, all right. With that, want to promo that, you know, if you don't want to miss an episode of Roundabout, and honestly, who would want to miss an episode of this show? It is so good. It is quality content each and every week from a dedicated cast and crew. Right, guys? You guys are the heartbeat of this show. Thank you, Ben. You guys are the absolute heartbeat of the program here. And
Chevrolet, you're the heartbeat of America.
I did not say the flatline of America, Eric. The heartbeat of the show here.
Zing.
Ouch. So long as you don't start singing Don Johnson singing Heartbeat, we're all good.
So if you don't want to ever miss an episode of Roundabout, search for us, iTunes. Simple enough. You can find us there. You can subscribe, download us to your iPhone, whatever. We're also on the Zune Marketplace for me and, well, probably only me. And then also we are now on Stitcher, which lets you get us on your mobile phone. So you can check that out as well. But with that, I'd like to thank all of you out there listening. And I would invite you to please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We will talk to you then.
Facebook me.
You were waiting all show for that, weren't you, Ben?
I just wanted to remind people to
Facebook me.
But we did not hear a cougar sound. Not once in the
See?
Yes!
See?
Victory! Ben, you did it!
I told you
Your
I could
addiction
do it.
Is cured!
Man, stunned and amazed. I make one pissed off leprechaun.
Somebody's trying to get your pot of gold, that's right. Ben, I don't even want to know how you managed to do that in like 20 minutes. It's terrifying that you figured that out that fast. All right, but I think, Eric, with your little your rant there, I think we can just about wrap things up for episode number 27 of Roundabout. I think we can wrap things up, like I said. So a couple things before
we
go.
Can we wrap them up, Craig?
Wrap them up.
I'll take it.
Wrap what?
He's going to take it in a doggy bag.
Okay.
No, it was Fabulous Thunderbirds.
Wrap it up.
Huh?
Take it.
Come on. See, Zach knew. Zach knew.
Well, Craig doesn't, and you can just assume Craig doesn't.
Ooh, there's a bombshell.
Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding.
Have you ever heard of the Fabulous Thunderbirds, Craig?
I hate you guys.
Do you know who Stevie Ray Vaughan is?
He better.
That's all I've got to say. Oh,
all I've got to say to that. God damn it,
Have you
Craig.
Heard of Bob Dylan?
Yes.
Okay.
No relationship to anyone in the band, but...
Exactly. I just had to throw that one out.
Oh, I hate you guys.